Invite you to open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3. I've been involved in a series of studies. My part of this meeting that I've called Questions People Ask Jesus. Sunday morning we talked about a learner's question. Sunday night we talked about a loved one's question. Last night, we talked about a laborer's question. Tonight, I want you to think with me about a lost man's question. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Then he makes a guess at an answer. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Obvious answer to that question is no. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? The two questions that I want to speak about tonight is the first question of verse number 4. And the last part of verse number 9. Both of these questions began with an interrogative adverb, how? How? Nicodemus does not indicate that he is debating about the issue, but he is in deep thought and wonder as to how. Now, I want to say at the outset of my message, there's lots of material in this chapter that I won't say a word about. This is not an exposition or by no means any kind of an exegetical approach to the chapter or the passage. I'm just looking at the question. How can a man be born when he is old? I like those thoughts. I like the thought of an old man and a new birth. I like those two thoughts, and they are blended in this question. How can a man be born when he is old? So you understand what I'm dealing with tonight. It's not my mission to talk about everything that's said. And it isn't my mission to be that specific about a lot of things. I want to just back away, as it were, from the passage and give three broad observations as to how a man can be born when he is old. Now, this is a question that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. It's pretty obvious to me, and I think would be obvious to any discerning individual, that there's a lot of old men that have never had a new birth.
Amen.
Brother Bryant was preaching this morning, and he referred to the, for lack of a better word, the evangelism explosion of the 60s and the 70s. And then he went on to say, but where are these people now? I remember some years ago I was with the pastor in a meeting, and he and his assistant met with me on the bus one afternoon and said, we have some questions we'd like to ask. I said, well, I don't promise any answers, but I'll entertain the question. Their question was this: what is happening in regard to our evangelistic efforts at the church? I began by asking a question. I said, how many people, just an estimate, how many people over the past year have made professions of faith through the efforts of your church? Made professions of faith that you know about, and it was upward of 200. I said, okay, have a follow-up question. How many of these people that made professions of faith through the efforts of your church are now enrolled in your membership, have been baptized, faithfully attend Sunday school and worship hour in your services? And it was less than 10. I said, okay, I want to get more personal with you. And I started with the assistant. I said, I want to ask you something. Are you saved? He was a little taken back by it. And I said, I'm serious. Are you saved? He said, well, sure. I said, tell me about it.
Amen, brother.
Tell me about when you got saved. He related his experience of grace. I said, all right, I want to ask another question. And I turned to the senior pastor. And I said, friend, can I ask you, are you saved? Oh, well, sure, I'm saved. I said, tell me about it. Well, he related his experience of grace. I said, I've got one more question and I'm going to rest my case. I said, who had to chase you two down and beat you over the head and hound you to get you to understand what happened to you and the fact that you must have the Word of God and you need to be a part of the fellowship of His church to fulfill His will for your life? Now I said, did somebody have to beat that into you, or was that born into you?
There you go.
Amen.
And both of them said, oh no, nobody had to coerce or put pressure. We just wanted to go. I said, you've got the answer. It's pretty evident to me something must have happened to you that's not happening to all these people.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, believe that.
And that brings me to my question tonight. How is it that a man can be born when he is old? Now, I am by no means an expert in any field, and there's a lot about anatomy and physiology and biology that I don't understand. But one thing that I firmly believe is this. Every time life is brought to be, it is the result of a working of God. You see, the reason Christian people believe in the sanctity of human life is we believe that God is the sole, only source of life there is. Now, I know theologically speaking, there are some who take the position that physical life is simple biology by intermediate causes, and that people produce other people. It's my conviction that it was God who said, live, and as a result, you're here.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You did get here a little different than the first man.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a mama nor a daddy. And hopefully you've had both. I said to one fellow one time, after he had broached several questions to me, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, never have believed in evolution, but I'm considering it.
That's right.
But now, it's my conviction that God, by His mighty power, brought into being Adam, the first man, without a man or a woman. It's also my conviction that God brought Christ to this world by means of a woman without a man.
Amen.
It's also my conviction that God uses a man and a woman to get most people in the world.
Amen.
And it's my conviction that the same God is having to do the work when it comes to an old man and a new birth. You never would have got here without God, and you sure won't get to heaven without
Him. Amen.
Now, there's three things that I'm going to say. And in order to say them, I want to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. I want to read a little situation there and lay a foundation. I'll come right back here to John 3. But I just want to read this. It's an interesting statement. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. This particular occasion follows the Lord's meeting with a man we normally refer to as the rich young ruler. But the Bible said Jesus looked round about and saith unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now what's the response? The disciples were astonished at His words. Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. See, that clarifies something. Them that trust. Okay. And then verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what was their response to that statement? They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Now look at the next verse. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, I remember my question. How can a man be born when he's old? Now look at it. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Now, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of foolishness about the camel and the needle's eye and all of that. I get quite amused listening at people talk about that and explain that. I get real amused about it. If you get a resource, a good resource, and look up the date when that little gate over yonder, in the little gate in the bigger gate in Jerusalem, you look up when that come to be. It wasn't even around when this scripture was being talked about. I mean, chronology will defy you putting that in this passage. If that won't work, the response of the disciples will defy you putting this in that passage. If Jesus had been talking about a small gate that a camel could lay down and you work his way under, it would not have astonished these people. That would have been something they would have been accustomed to seeing regularly. I mean, the fellow ought to use his head once in a while. A woodpecker does. You say, well, what do you think he's talking about? There's no question about it. He's talking about an ordinary camel and a sewing needle. You say, well, I couldn't be talking about that. Well, don't talk to me about it. That's what I believe. And don't try to talk me out of it. I'm set in my ways. I don't believe a man could put a two-hump camel through a regular sewing needle eye, but I believe if God wanted to, he could. You say, why do you believe that? Because he's God enough to take an old man and give him a new birth.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we have a word. We have a word for that kind of activity. What kind of word do we use when we're talking about something that only God can do? We call it a... you get it. How can a man be born when he is old? My first point, it will be the miracle of a moment.
Amen, that's right.
Yes,
yeah. It'll be the miracle of a moment.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you've got reason enough to know that there are things that occur before the birth of a child. But the birth itself is on a certain date, at a certain time, in a certain place. How many of you have a birthday? I didn't say today, but you do have one. You do have one occasionally. I don't know about the rest of it. But you were born at a time and a place, and that's an event in your life.
Yeah, right.
But that miracle of that moment, there was many things transpired up to that time, but the birth itself is the miracle of a moment.
Amen.
Hey.
You say, well, preacher, what do you think? If a man's saved, do you think he'll know anything about it? I'll tell you this much. He might not know a lot about it, but I'll promise you, he will know if it has occurred.
Amen.
Amen.
It is the miracle of a moment. Regeneration is the theological term that we use. So, if we concede the fact that generation does not occur without God, then regeneration will not occur without God. And when it does occur, it is miraculous.
Yeah.
Why? Because God's the only one can do it.
Amen.
He's the only one can produce that.
Yeah. Hey.
Now, I'm fixing to say something. You're just going to have to give me a minute. And I don't want to be offensive, but I want to be very clear. If it is miraculous, it cannot be mechanical.
Right. Right. Amen.
Yeah. You let that sink in.
Yeah.
It cannot be both. If it is miraculous and only God can produce it, it cannot be mechanically generated. Had a good friend over in North Carolina for a long time up in Shelby. Herman Mims, H.D. Mims. Everybody called him Bud. Bud was an engineer. Pretty successful. And I did his funeral a few years back. There were people from 60-something countries around the world at that funeral. Those who had had business dealings with him. I was sitting in his office one day, and somebody came in for an interview. I made my exodus. Came back after a while. I said, well, did the guy get the job? He said, I don't know. He's working on it. I said, well, what does a man have to have? What kind of credentials? What kind of expertise does he have to work in your company? Does he have to have an engineering degree? Oh, he said, no, he don't have to. He does have to answer one question correctly. And he does have to have the concentration capacity to look at a problem and work on a solution for at least 8 hours at a time without a break. If he can't concentrate that long, I can't use him. My business is solving problems. I said, well, my soul, what is the question? He said, well, pretty simple. He said, one question. I have it on a piece of paper and I shove it in front of him. What is a machine? He said, now if he starts his answer with this, it is a gadget or a thingamajig. End of interview. I said, well, what's the correct definition? He said, a machine is a device that repeats a function. What it is.
Yeah.
It does the same thing every time. You don't have to wonder. It's going to do the same thing every time. The ratios, the calibrations for the moving parts and everything about that device are so finely tuned that it is going to do the same thing every time. I'm talking to the man that produced the machine that puts that design on the Oreo cookie and puts that white stuff in it and puts it in a sack like you buy it in the grocery store. All right, now let's transfer what I've been telling. How many of you can see the difference between miraculous and mechanical?
Yes, sir.
You may have trouble with what I'm fixing to say. We're turning out mechanically produced.
Right, you might tell it right. You tell it right.
Material. And we're reaping the results.
That's exactly right. You might. That's
right.
Miracles are not mechanically produced. God is the only one can produce the miraculous. You may not understand everything about what I'm telling you tonight, but I'm prepared to tell you, if you have been born again, God did a work in you, on you, for you.
Yes, amen.
And it's His work.
Amen.
It's not some preacher's work. It's not your work. It's not mom and daddy's work. It's the working of God.
Amen.
How can a man be born when he is old? It will be the miracle of a moment. I got to move. Look on down in the passage. Verse number 8. The Lord had been talking about birth, and then He changed and started talking about breeze, wind. Look at it. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." Somebody give me a synonym for that word listeth. Say that again.
Leaves.
Well, that might mean that if it's used for a ship on the water. But the idea behind this word listeth is the wind blows where it pleases. How many of y'all ever tried that little nursery rhyme they taught you when you was a kid, you know, little old nursery and your diaper bag, in your bassinet, and they sung them little lullabies to you? Rained on the outside and they said, "Rain, rain, go away, come again another day." Y'all ever hear that one? Well, did you ever go outside and say that and have it respond? Did it ever work for you? And same thing about the wind. It can be a dry, hot, sultry, sticky day. You say, "Wow, it'd be nice if a little breeze would blow." But you can't make it happen. And I want to tell you something else. If it is happening, you can't stop it. Not only have we produced, mechanically produced, quote unquote, converts, a lot of folks have cranked up a lot of fancy wind blowing machines.
That's right.
Amen.
Been so long since the Holy Ghost did do anything in our services, we've tried to create some way or another and mimic what He has done in days gone by with our own productions. You hear me tonight? What we're seeing is all of this mechanical stuff and all of this mass-produced stuff and all of this man-generated stuff is literally falling through.
Yeah.
As rightly it should.
Right.
You say, "Well now, you just don't believe in soul winning." Well, I'd be glad to talk to you about that anytime you want to talk about it. But I'll tell you what I don't believe in, and I don't practice. I don't try to sell Jesus to anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go.
If you're in this room tonight and hearing my message, it might be a good question for you. Have you been sold or have you been saved?
Amen.
Now that may be a little too bold for you. I don't know. But I'll tell you what difference it's going to make.
Yeah.
You get to the end of this walk down here, friend, you're going to have to meet God, and you're not going to be in good shape if you're not saved.
Amen.
The wind bloweth where it listeth. I don't feel like I need to talk to you about the word wind. You know that that word is used interchangeably with spirit, both in Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I want to just say to you tonight, what we need to understand is, if anybody's going to get saved, God will have to do a miracle. And if anybody's going to get saved, God's precious Holy Spirit is going to have to brood and blow and work on that individual. Or it'll never happen. You can't make the wind blow and you can't stop the wind from blowing. But I'll tell you one thing. You can sure speak to the one who can stop it and start it and ask him.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Lord, it'd sure be nice if we could feel a little breeze in here.
Amen.
It'd sure be nice, Lord, if when I was preaching Sunday, you'd help me to know I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
It'd sure be nice to see evidence of the wind of God blowing on that man sitting in the back corner that's lost without God. It'd be nice to give evidence that the wind is blowing.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Excuse the rhyme and excuse the secular context, but the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my second truth. How can a man be born when he is old? It is the miracle of a moment. Secondly, it is the mystery of a movement. How many of you were surprised when you got saved?
Yeah.
Probably everybody else there was surprised you got saved too. My point is this. You don't dictate to God when and where and who to do what on or about.
That's right.
You can preach the same sermon to the whole crowd of people and a fellow on this side of the church building, God will work his case over and do a work in him. And a guy on the other side hears the same sermon on the same Sunday in the same atmosphere and he's just as cold as an ice ball in Alaska in January.
Amen.
You say, what makes the difference? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. This thing of an old man having a new birth involves the miracle of a moment and it involves the mystery of a moment.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I'm going to give you my last poem. I want to drop on down to the last, well, not the last verses, but the lower part of the chapter. And there's a lot between where I am and where I'm going here, but let's just look, if you will, verse number 16. Be ashamed to read some of this chapter and not read this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, let's keep a reading. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Somebody tell me, what was the first main point? How can a man be born when he is old? It is the miracle of a moment. Second, it is the mystery of a movement. Don't get disheartened. It'll probably happen to that fellow you thought it was going to happen to 6 months ago. It'll probably happen to him 2 or 3 years down the road.
Amen.
Just don't get worried with it. Don't try to blow wind on him. God's big enough to handle
it.
Lady come to me the other night in the meeting. She said, pray for my grandyoungers. I said, about what? She said, well, they've been raised in a home where the daddy is of one faith and the mama is of another faith, and I'm afraid they're just going to stay confused. I said, well, I understand your concern. I said, I want to help you a little bit though. She said, you do? I said, yeah. She said, with what? I said, God's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're exactly right.
God's bigger than that.
God's bigger than that. You're right.
It's not a one of us in this room would have ever figured it out. So we like to think we can figure it out. But son, you didn't have it figured out.
No.
You don't figure God out. You don't discover Him. He reveals Himself to you. He opens His truth to your heart. He opens your heart to that same truth. That's what He did for Lydia. Alright. It's the mystery of a movement. Now, the last point is, when this old man experiences a new birth, there will be a manifestation of a new man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the result of it.
Amen.
Manifestation of a new man. Old preachers down home used to say, the dog will know something happened to you.
Yeah.
The idea is this. You'll be so different.
Yeah.
You'll be so changed. You'll be so transformed. It will be without any question.
Yeah.
Something radical has occurred.
Amen.
Now, in this passage, John talked about light and he talked about darkness. The rudiments of light and darkness are first talked about in Genesis chapter 1, first thing God did was He divided those two things. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And men have been running for the dark ever since.
Yes. Right.
Running for the dark. Running for the dark. I had an old man one time. He said, pray for me, preacher. He said, I'm visiting this old fellow lives over here on the hill. And he said, I can't catch up with him. Said, I go and knock on the front door and he runs out the back door while I'm knocking on the front door. And he said, I've even tried going around the house and having somebody. He said, he beats me. He said, why is he acting that way? I said, well, why did you act that way about 2 years ago when I was trying to visit you?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yes. He's just doing what people do.
That's right.
He's got a notion when he looks out and sees the preacher coming that light may be present, and he's running from that.
Yeah,
why? Because he's wicked.
Yeah.
What is the manifestation of a new man? I'll give you 2 points. I'm fixing to say that. That was your cue to shout, and you missed it. When God gives you light, if you're saved, God gives you light. I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You won't argue with it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll accept it and you'll adjust to it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
You won't argue with it. Why? Because the same one that did that work on the inside of you is bringing that light to bear.
Yes, sir.
And if he's inside, you'll recognize that.
Oh, yeah.
You'll respond to that.
Yes, sir.
You'll agree with it, even if it condemns you.
That's
you'll
right.
agree with it. Condemns something you're doing or something you're not doing. You'll disagree with it. Against your own self, you'll agree with it.
Amen.
And you'll find it in your heart to adjust to it. If God's not in your heart, you'll argue with it. You'll get mad about it. You'll cuss and fuss and fume and act just like Baptists. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't say much bad about Baptists. I am a Baptist. Not ashamed to be one. We have a great heritage. We also have a great future. But I want to just say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if a man is born when he's old and he's born again, I'm going to tell you what he'll do. There'll be a manifestation of a new man.
Right.
How can you tell it? Conscious repentance. And unconscious holiness.
Yes.
See, when God turns that light, some area of your heart and your life, your repentance is a conscious thing.
Yes.
But what's happening in that process of repentance? You're not that much aware of it. There is an unconscious holiness that's being developed on the other side of that conscious repentance. Okay. How many of you heard what I had to say? Anybody hear it? Okay. You're responsible for it. You're just going to have to deal with it now.
Sir.
You've heard it. God is the only one that can give an old man a new birth.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.